Exodus chapter 19, we'll start in verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed. Isn't it amazing how much emphasis has been on obedience in the last week? In Friday night Jubilee especially, the tone of obedience. And everything hinges on that. Amen? So it says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and it did say, if you will obey my voice, identifying that you're not a robot, that it's not going to be automatic. You have to choose to be obedient. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now what's taking place here is that they're out of Egypt, chapter 12. They're already now at the base of Mount Sinai where Moses is going to be receiving the commandment, the old covenant, the law. And here in verse number 7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. Thank God for a preacher that'll do that. Thank God for the man of God that'll spend time with the Lord in his presence and get God's word for the people and will lay it all before the people. Not pick and choose and just... what they know is controversial, avoid that. What will be convicting, at least leave that alone. What might be confrontational, leave that alone. No, Moses came and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And note verse 8, and all the people answered together. What if this verse was applicable or could be stated of Rogersville Baptist Temple? And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. What would be the result of that? I don't believe we could describe it. I don't believe we could contain it. It would get bigger than us quickly. It would get bigger than our church. It would probably be at least on a national, it could be even on a national scale, the repercussions of that, of God moving. A man comes and preaches, as Moses did, lays all of what God said out before the people, and there was no arguing, there was no, well, I'm not going to have that preaching. I'm not going to listen to that preaching. I'll go across town or down the road or over yonder somewhere where they don't hardly preach much or nothing. That's where I'll go. No, these people didn't respond like that. These people said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. You see that? Look at verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I am coming to thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear what I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. I want you to just get this. I'll make a note here. God said, Moses, I want the people to hear what I say to you. I want them to know that I am speaking to you. And I tell you, I have a desire as a pastor and a preacher, I have a desire to have a connection with the Lord. I've got a calling on my life. I didn't ask for that. I didn't bargain for that. God put that on me. And I answered that call 37 and a half years ago. But I want to have such a relationship and fellowship with the Lord that when I'm preaching, that you are aware of the fact that I've got the message from God. That God said, I want the people to hear when I'm speaking to you so that they'll believe you when you preach. Amen. And so let's move on. I'll try not to commentate as we go through. That's hard not to do. He said, believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord, verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For their third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Now, in verse number 9, God says, I want them to hear me speak to you. But verse number 11, he's saying, I want the people to be able to see. I want to come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Verse 12. And this is our text, or one of the text verses. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. I'd say those indications there, those statements there, lets us know that God is serious about his bounds. God is serious when he starts saying, set up bounds unto my people. And it goes on to say in verse 14, and Moses went down from the mountain of the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount. And the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. Boy, that's a good thing for a preacher to have in his heart to do, have it in his ministry, is to bring the people to the place where you can meet with God. That's a good ministry summary. I'd like to have that as my ministry summary. I'd like to be able to say that I'm trying my best to bring the people to a place where they meet with God. Amen. They meet with God, and they stood at the neither part of the mount, verse 18, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down. Boy, he's going up and down a lot in this chapter. That's what, when you're dealing with people, that's usually the way it is. Say amen right there. But anyway, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest, look at it now, lest they break through. Lest they break through what? The bounds. Lest they ignore the boundaries and break through. Look at it. Unless they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priest also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And note again, we have it in verse 23. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai for the boundaries. For thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. See the connection there between God's boundaries and sanctification? Verse 24, and the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through. Talking about the bounds. Break, don't let them cross the boundaries. to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. And Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. And then it goes into chapter 20, and he gives them the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we bow before you, Lord, asking for you to help us here in this service this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to say what needs to be said in this service, nothing more, nothing less. We pray that you will get the glory, captivate our attention, give us that special unction and anointing, the Lord, that makes preaching effective and challenging and stirring and lasting. May your will be done, Lord, I pray. Save sinners, stir the saints of God, and defeat the powers of hell, and we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I know our scripture reading this morning was somewhat lengthy, but I don't know of anything that should have our attention more. I'm reminded in the Old Testament on one occasion where they stood over a half a day just to hear the Word of God read. I think it shouldn't be a problem to read it 10 minutes or so, or whatever time we spent there. They could listen to it for a half a day. I think we should be able to. Amen. But anyway, chapter 19, in verse number 12, I pointed it out as we come through verse 12, God told Moses to set bounds unto the people round about. And then in that same verse, he said, tell them to not touch the border. He said, I want you to set bounds. I want you to put borders up. I want you to put lines up that is not to be crossed by God's people. Now, I'm going to preach something today probably that goes cross-grain with a lot of the religious programming that you might listen to on television, that you might, some of the televangelists that you might listen to, and they'll never say anything about bounds. They'll never say anything much about boundaries. They'll never say anything much about lines. But God told Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to set up some bounds and make sure that they understand that this is going to be a border. They're not to cross that. They're not to cross the line. They're not to touch, not even touch the border. God is serious about that. And we are living in an hour when boundaries are no longer preached to the people, and that's why we have loose living among God's people. Amen. Right here is the boundaries. Right here is God's Word, and God's Word serves as borders, lines, boundaries for God's people. Are you listening? And I think it, so I heard a preacher say this not long ago. He said, we'll probably have revival if we could get back to preaching the law again. Not so that people can get saved, because you can't get saved with the law. But you, I don't know that you can get saved without it, in that it's the law that shows you that you're a transgressor. It's the law, for without the, if there, where there's no law, there's no transgression. See, and if you get back to preaching, a lot of them old timers, a lot of them old giant preachers of years and years gone by, that's what they would do. Brother Craig, they would come in a church, and if they was preaching revival or a conference or something like that, and they would preach the law of God, hang people out over hell with the law of God for several nights consecutively, and get people to the place where they think, oh, mercy, is there no mercy for us? Is there no hope for us? And then they would come in and introduce Calvary, and they would show the work of Christ that satisfied the law for us. And it's through His death, His burial, His resurrection that we can be saved. And just tons of people would get saved by the grace of God. But we've sugarcoated the gospel to the point that sinners don't even think they have to be under conviction to get saved. Amen. I've seen them. I've seen them in my ministry. I've seen them coming down the aisle to supposedly get saved, and they're chewing their chewing gum and blowing bubbles and giggling and laughing and just You know, I don't know their heart, but I want to say I don't find that was the case with me when God dealt with me the night I got saved. No, I was in fear of God, amen, a reverential fear of the Lord. I didn't see nothing funny about being a sinner. I didn't see nothing funny about that. But God says to Moses, I want you to set up bounds unto the people round about. And then he says it again in verse 23. Set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. Of course, I pointed that out as I read through there, verse number 23 and verse number 14. God connects with his subject of bounds. He attaches the word sanctify, verse 10 and 14 and so on, because that's a part of it. A part of biblical sanctification, which most churches don't have a clue about, is that there's some bounds in our life. And listen, I want you to get this now. These are just some personal notes the Lord gave me as I read through there and just jotted those down. And the Lord spoke to my heart this morning about preaching it here this morning. But boundaries, as is revealed in our text, is not against us. It's for us. Boundaries set up in the Bible of thou shalt or thou shalt not, those are bounds that are for your benefit. When God says don't, he knows there's the consequences can be avoided. He knows, you know, that it's for us and not against us. The word bounds just simply means to set bounds about, to draw lines, to place borders. That's what that word means. And I'm glad God's word sets some bounds. Now listen, your flesh don't like bounds, I'm just going to tell you. Your flesh don't want no kind of preaching, no kind of Bible study, any kind of a church that talks about borders and lines and boundaries. No, they don't want, your flesh don't like that. I'll tell you what your flesh likes, no boundaries. And when I read this back, whenever it was a few weeks ago when I was reading through here, here's the statement the Lord gave me when I read across that and it caught my attention. Spirituality has boundaries. Carnality have no boundaries. Your flesh has no boundaries. Your old depraved fleshly nature it never wants to hear a no. It wants to be able to do whatever, whenever, wherever, and to whatever extent. That's your flesh. And I'm talking about even your flesh as a saved person. You give it lean, you get lenient with your flesh and start ignoring the boundaries, and your flesh doesn't fear God, your flesh does not want God, and your flesh will not hesitate to cross the boundaries and the lines and the bounds that God's word sets up. This is just this unplanned, but I'm going to mind the Lord. Turn to Galatians 5. Turn to Galatians 5 right quick. And while you're turning, I want to just simply say here that, and I wasn't planning to even reference this, God just put it on my heart. He's writing to a local church here. How many agrees with that? He's writing the church of Galatia, right? He comes into chapter number 5 and he says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Could I insert our text in Exodus there, the thought? The flesh is constantly wanting to cross the boundaries. The flesh is fighting against the boundaries that the Spirit sets up and that the Spirit enforces, that the Spirit will lead you to do. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. He's still talking to believers. He's still talking to a local church. And he's talking about the flesh. And Brother McCarricker opened up Sunday school this morning and I sat back there and I was amazed. What did he deal with for those of you that were upstairs? Carnality. He dealt with carnality. What am I dealing with? The flesh doesn't want any kind of bounds. Doesn't want any kind of boundary. So Paul let the church of Galatia know, all right, listen, you walk in the flesh, here's what is subject to be in your life. Can I read them to you? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And such like means the list is so big and so long and so corrupt, I don't have the time to write it down. I will just make an all-inclusive statement by saying, and such like. You say, preacher, I don't want none of that to be my testimony. I don't want any of those descriptives there in verse number 19 and 20 and 21 of Galatians 5 to be my testimony. You know how they will become your testimony? Some of them, any of them, all of them. You know how that is? Avoid God's boundaries of walking in the Spirit, which is to walk according to the Scripture. And your flesh will violate every boundary in the Bible. Oh my goodness. So I wanted to read that to you. Let's go back to Exodus. Almost everything in our life have rules, have lines, have restrictions, limits, boundaries to go by. Almost everything in our life does. Amen. And you know what? I'm thankful that there's lines on the road. Is that right, Brother Bob? Thankful for the lines on the road. And Brother Bob's in business because people don't pay attention to boundaries and lines and guidelines. Brother Bob is a cop and he writes tickets, and tickets says you went across the line. You crossed the line. You went out of your boundary. You was on the wrong side of the road. Double line, do not pass, and try it. They'll give you a ticket. That's probably the only one I haven't got yet, I'd say. And I'm not trying to get one, amen. But I'm thankful that when I'm on a two-lane road, that there's lines that let me know that when I see an oncoming car, that I don't have to worry too much about them running over me, because I at least have some consolation that I'm on my side of the road because the lines tells me so. Now, if there's no lines, it's every man for himself. Coming out of there where we were at youth camp this week, I mean, I met some coming out of there, and I thought, Lord, help us. And I had that van, and it was church van, and it was loaded to the, well, I'd hang myself right here, but we had maybe a little bit more on there than we supposed to had. Maybe. I don't want to incriminate myself. And then plus I had a trailer and it was packed full. Lord only knows how much weight I had in that thing. And we were coming out of that road, no lines. Very narrow, pig trail, way back in the sticks. And I met some, and I mean they were flying. And I just did the best I could to get over as far as I could without getting in the ditch. But I thought, man, it would have been good if there would have been a line. Because a line is a reference. You know, when they were coming and they were all over the road and I'm nearly in the ditch, that I thought, you know, if there was a line, as soon as I seen them, I could tell if they were on their side or not. Hey, Brother Jonathan, coming out from your place the other night, I thought, oh, my stars. I mean, their driveway's like this wide. I mean, seriously. And I thought, boy, I sure hope I don't meet nobody coming up through here. No lines. That's what the flesh wants, isn't it? Thank God, listen, thank God for boundaries and lines and what about stop signs? That's a boundary. That's something set up, and that's for your safety. That is for your, for your best interest. There have been people killed because somebody ran a stop sign. There have been people that have been taken out of this life and put into eternity, amen, because they ignored a red light. Boundaries are a part of our life. Amen. That's right. Even in school, listen, there is such in the home and school and jobs, driving, traveling, and relationships and everything, there's boundaries and there's lines and there's do not cross and do not do this and stay in your place, stay in your direction, stay in your zone. Everywhere you look, there's boundaries in our life. Even, I thought about this morning even, what about even children when they first start getting coloring books? You know what they do when they first get a coloring book? Ignore the lines. They're just fascinated with the purple and the pink and the green and the gray and the yellow and all the different colors. And they just, all over the page. Pay no attention to lines. That's what a child's born with. A nature that wants to ignore and not pay attention to lines. But as they start, they just all over the page. But then as they have somebody instructing them, whether it's mama or daddy or teacher or whatever, they start saying, no. You need, don't go outside the line. Color inside the line. And with much work and effort, that is accomplished in time to where they understand that even in a coloring book, as young as and little as that is, listen, that I need to stay in the lines. I need to, it don't look good when I go outside the lines. It makes me look bad when I cross the lines. Oh, mercy. What about in the realm of sports? Everything I could think of, Brother Mark, in the realm of sports, every one of them's got lines. Every one of them's got an out of bounds. Every one of them's got rule books. Every one of them's got do this and do it this way. If you don't, you're disqualified or you're going to be at deducted points or whatever. Everywhere you look, amen, basketball, baseball, football, tennis, golf, the list could go on. There's lines and there's boundaries for everyone. Life is full of lines. In fact, I'm just looking right out through the front door right there. That's Miss Sandra's vehicle right there. And guess where she's parked at? She didn't just drive in here and just, I believe I'll just park anywhere I want to and any way I want to. You know what? She's within the lines of her parking spot. How many in here parked within the lines of a parking spot? Well, three of you. I hope you didn't hit my car. I guarantee you can go up here in the upper parking lot or the lower parking lot and you will find most people are parked in the lines. Why? They know that's a spot that's allowed. That's a spot that I'm to park in. Amen? I mean, if you cross or start budging the lines in a parking lot, come on now, I just had a bunch of dents repaired. Are you listening? Listen, you start budging the lines on a parking spot and then somebody comes in on this side, you're already close to their line. You're already close to being over the line and they're going to open their car door in your car and then you're going to be mad. You know what I do when I park in there? In a spot, a parking line, and I've even backed up several times to even make sure that I'm dead center. Amen? Because somebody beside of you may cross the line or get too close to the line and then you'll have a beat up car. And if you get a new car, just go ahead and count on it. Somebody's going to hit it. Somebody's going to kick it. Somebody's going to scuff it. Somebody's going to open a door. I tell you, that just upsets me. So if you buy a new car, this just comical. When you buy a new car, just go ahead and kick it in the door and get it done with. But there's lines everywhere. There's boundaries everywhere. And when you think about the sports illustrations concerning lines and boundaries and things of that nature, did you know only inside the bounds is what counts? We've all seen people run 99-yard touchdowns and it get called back because they touched the sideline somewhere up through there and they touched it, got too close and touched it. Amen? It called it back. It didn't count. How many people that's going to arrive at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to find out that a lot of stuff that you did is going to be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. It's not going to count. There's not going to be a crown and a reward for it. Why? Because you stepped out of the bounds several times. Amen. This is speaking to my heart. We're not getting going good right here, but this is speaking to my heart. Amen. Once you step out of bounds, you kill your the qualification of the effort. It don't matter what effort you made, if you step out of bounds, right then and there, your efforts become disqualified. We need to pay attention to lines, and the Bible's full of them. Listen, I can see that I'm not going to get done this morning, and that's fine. God fed me with it, and I want to feed you with it. Hopefully, that's what is happening. But any person that says, I'm not concerned with boundary lines, will probably not get to play in the game. No matter what your talents are or your abilities are. It don't matter if you can run a 100-yard dash in 2.5 seconds. If you are constantly touching the lines and crossing the lines or running the wrong way even. The coach is not going to put you in because he knows that those efforts are going to be disqualified and is going to draw penalties and it's not going to be any good. Amen. Amen, that's right. How many are thankful for the boundaries? Real estate boundaries. Miss Wanda's on one side of me and they've got neighbors on the behind me. Got neighbors beside of me. And what if there wasn't no boundary lines, no boundary markers? We'd be constantly fighting. Be the Hatfields and the McCoys. We'd be constantly, that's on me. That's not on you, that's on me. This is my line. No, my line's over there. No, this is my, what if it was left up to, Brother Jonathan, you just bought that property, got 80 acres. What if the boundaries, people that owns around you, what if they said, well, you know, I think half of this mountain is mine. And you say, no, it's mine. And you've got the plat to show it. You've got the layout, the survey to show it. And you could probably take them and show, no, right here's corner markers. Right here's a marker. What he would do instead of arguing with the person and fussing and even fighting and drawing enemy fire with the artillery that maybe is around somewhere, you know what? He just takes them to the line and says, no, right here it is. And you can go down here at the courthouse and you can see that line is mine. Lines are in our life. Lines are a part of our life in real estate. Lines are part of our life in every area of our life. And they're not against me, they're for me. They're a plus in my life. Countries have boundaries. Thank God for borders. I know that's a political time bomb, but I'm thankful that we have borders. And I'm glad we've got somebody, and it don't matter which side of the fence you're on that, don't make no difference to me, but I'm glad we've got somebody that's at least trying to enforce some border lines. Amen. If you get mad at that, you just have to get mad. That wasn't a political statement. That was just the fact that America, the red, white, and blue, thank God we've got some borders. Amen. That's right. And so, you know, Rogersville's got borders. City limits, that's a border. I mean, just there's borders everywhere that you look in your life. Let me just say this right here. I wrote this down. When you look at a border, a bound, a line has got two sides. There's always a permitted side, a qualified side, a yes side, a positive side. But then on the other side of that line is an out of bounds, a negative, don't do that without a penalty. So every boundary, depending on which side you stay on in your life, and I know I'm just generalizing in the preaching right now, but we're going to get specific. Maybe not this morning, but we're going to get specific. That there's boundaries laid out in God's Word. And I believe that all of us would be a way ahead spiritually if we knew what those boundaries are. And by the way, Brother Bob, have you ever had anybody when you pull them over and they tell you, well, I didn't know? All the time, probably. Yeah, quite often he said, sir, do you know what the speed limit is? Well, no, I didn't. But you know what? Ignorance is no excuse. You know why? It's posted. And that's a part of learning to drive, is to pay attention to signs and what those signs mean. And there's speed limit signs, although most of us don't pay much attention to them, but at least they're there. Ignorance is no excuse. You can, when you get to, if you're saved, you get to heaven and at the judgment seat of Christ, you say, but Lord, I didn't know those boundaries was there. I didn't realize that I had those guidelines. I didn't realize that. God, there won't be no excuse. God will say, okay, I'm sorry. I understand you're ignorant and all that. Just come over here. We're going to let you pass by grace over here. You're getting the grace pile over here. Now, how many times does the Bible say, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren? We have a Bible to do away with scriptural ignorance so that we can know what's expected of us. Well, amen. We're having a good time, aren't we? I am anyway. Listen to this. The basic message that's coming from the religious world, I know that's a general statement. Listen. The basic message that's coming from the religious world today that is very prominent and popular is this message: spirituality without borders. Spirituality without boundaries. Amen. That's why they never preach anything about separation. They never preach against carnality. They never preach about walking in the flesh. They never preach about none of those things. Why? Those all deal with lines and boundaries in our life. All they're interested in is pumping up some feel-good emotions. Amen. That's exactly right. But there's no such teaching in the Bible. Some of them, listen, let me give this to you. I'm not rambling. I'm giving you what God told me. Some of those big name, I mean big name televangelists, the preachers on television, a lot of them, they use grace to preach against boundaries. I've heard them at length. They will use the grace of God and their unscriptural mindset about what the grace of God is. And they preach a spirituality that has no lines and no limits and no restrictions and no boundaries. That is what the Bible calls turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, which is a big word that means a license to sin. If your view of the grace of God encourages loose living, then you have got an unscriptural view of the grace of God. Turn to Titus right quick. We're just reminding the Lord. Amen. Titus, and by the way, how many of you parents are glad that there are some lines in for your children? If you don't want no lines and no boundaries and stuff that you don't want crossed, don't lock your doors at night. I just leave them open. Get you one of them flashing welcome signs and put on your front porch. No, we lock the door. Amen. Security system, everything else. Why? There are some lines that we are going to enforce that we are not going to allow somebody just because of whatever, they're going to come in and cross those lines. That's right, isn't it? Thank God for that. But look at Titus. We're talking about the grace of God here. If you want to see a biblical view of the grace of God, a scriptural definition of the grace of God, look at it right here. Titus 2, verse 11. I'm not going to deal with all this. I just want to reference it to show you this is the grace of God right here. Verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Look up this way before you read the next verse. Now that shows right there the grace of God. It does, thank God, take grace for you to get saved. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved. Thank God. Grace means the unmerited favor, undeserved favor. Grace says you can't get saved by your merit. You can't get saved because of your works. You can't get saved by religious involvement. You can't get saved through church membership and baptismal certificate. You can't get saved because you're kin to the preacher. You can't get saved by any means other than through the grace of God, the unmerited favor. And it brings salvation, and it hath appeared to all men. Thank God for that statement. But if you'll notice, verse 11 does not end with a period. Verse 12, in other words, the grace of God did that. Grace of God, same grace, is fixing to do this. Teaching us. That is, once you got in verse 11 and you got saved by the grace of God, now what? Amen. A lot of people think, well, I'm saved, that's it. No, that's the start. That's not the end. That's the beginning. Look at what the grace of God does. Listen. Now I believe I can say it with scriptural authority here that if verse number 12 is not true, then verse 11 is not true. If the grace of God does not teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, when and where? In this present world. And it still doesn't end with a period. It goes right into verse 13. The same grace that saves, verse 11, the same grace that schools you in verse 12 is the same grace that we could call second coming grace. You're living for the future. You're living in the light of leaving. You're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Teaching us. You see boundaries? Y'all been listening to me preach 32 minutes. I want to ask you, do you see any boundaries in verse 12? I see a positive and a negative in there. The negative is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. That's a negative. That's a line. Don't cross it. That's a line the grace of God will never give you permission to cross. That's a line that the Bible is going to drive into your heart and teach into you as a believer to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. But then there's a positive side of that line the grace of God's going to instill, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Could I ask you a question that I have and don't have the answer? Why is it that verse 12 is absent in the majority of people that profess to be saved? I don't have an answer for that. I'd like some help on that. People claim to get saved in verse 11. The grace of God brings salvation, hath appeared to all men. Brother Frankie, thank God for verse 11. But what about verse 12? What about verse 12? Where's that at? Where's that at in professing believers now? I don't see it much. I see people claim to get saved, and you know what they do? They profess to be saved, and then they basically live a worldly, carnal life. Still listen to the same kind of music as they listened to before they got saved. Still dress the same way after getting saved as they did before they got saved. And I'm not talking about just a day or two after. I'm worried that, you know, you need to give sinners or people that got saved time to grow. I think you're very immature if you deal with a sinner that just got saved and you tell him, you know, you start dealing with the length of his hair or whatever. Need to give him room to grow, amen? Somebody give you room to grow. But now I'm not talking about giving you 50 years to grow and learn the basics. The grace of God started. Listen, when I got saved, I had long hair. I mean, I wasn't a hippie, but it was still across the lines. It was across the hairline. Ain't that old thing? There's a boundary. Men have a hairline. Are you listening? And I didn't, nobody preached on it. Not a person. Brother Bain didn't preach on it. And I'm talking about, you know, I told you the other night when I got saved and I shouted around and got filled with Spirit and running back and forth. I was old moped. But I just got saved that night. Just got saved that night. And guess what? I come into church. Nobody had to tell me. Nobody had to preach to me. I knew it was time for me to go to the barbershop. And I went to the barbershop, and I come in with a haircut. I mean, a good haircut. Well, it took me about two times to get it right. You know why? I kept wanting to budge the boundaries. I said, well, it's not here, it's here. That's good enough. The Holy Ghost said, nope, on up. You know, instead of it being way down over my ears, now it's up here, you know, sort of right there, you know. And I thought, well, you know, that's good enough. Holy Ghost said, nope. Amen. Got two ears on the side of your head, that's two measuring sticks. That's right. I'm talking to men right now. Are you listening? That's two measuring sticks. You got a hairline in the back and you got two ears. I know that's not popular. Isn't it amazing? While I'm on it, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how much approval and how much applause that people gets in the religious world? I'm talking about men with hair plumb down to their belt, and they get bragged on like they're the greatest thing that ever was. Some of the most popular gospel singers, mop heads. I'm talking about plumb down hair way down on their back. And they'll just brag on them and all of that. I don't care if they show up on the Gaithers or where. If they are, the Bible said, doth not nature itself teach that it's a shame for a man to have long hair? Just nature itself teaches it's a shame to have long hair. Well, it's been years since I've nailed that one, amen. And I mean, they just take up for it and all that, you know. It burns me up. I don't understand it. I'm talking about lines, brother. I'm not talking about preferences that's just Preacher Rackley's idea on the subject. No, I'm talking about chapter and verse that it's in the, amen, 1 Corinthians 11, I believe is the exact passage about where it said it about long hair. So we're not talking about a line that I set up, a guideline or a boundary that I set up. We're talking about what God's Word says. Anyway, Lord help us. I figured it'd get thick. Grace has boundaries. Carnality doesn't have any boundaries. Your flesh doesn't have any boundaries. Are you listening? Now, I'm getting way ahead of myself right here because I know I'm not going to get to it this morning. But there's a lot of people crossing boundaries even in their marriage. You got boundaries in your marriage, buddy. We got two that's fixing to get married. Never mind. We got two here that's fixing. I have to keep reminding myself we're going out over the world here, amen. But we got two that, listen, and I'm going to be going over the different things with them in a marriage count or premarital counseling session. Listen, there's boundaries. I mean, there's boundaries in that holy matrimony. Amen? And it's not that, well, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, you get, well, I'm not really happy. Well, so? Well, I'm not really happy, preacher. In fact, I'm just a little bit on the miserable side. Well, I can't help it. You know why I can't help it? That's none of the boundaries in the Bible. Just because you're not happy and you're miserable, and I hate that for you, that's no boundaries to go down here and tell the judge, I want out of this thing. We are having a time. Oh, Lord, help us. Worst thing you can do in your marriage, and I'm getting ahead of myself there, but that's all right. Worst thing you can do in your marriage is get carnal. Worst thing. Carnal means you're walking after the flesh. The flesh is having its say-so in your life. Worst thing you can do. You're going to hear in the very near future, and I'm not going to go into much detail, but you're going to hear in the very near future of a couple that's blown all to pieces because one of the mates went carnal. And when you get carnal, you're not going to stay inside the boundaries. When you start living after the flesh, you're not going to stay inside the boundaries. You're going to start crossing the boundaries because that's what the flesh wants to do. Amen, are you listening? Spirituality don't split up homes. Carnality splits homes. Are you listening? That's why I encourage these that are planning to get married in the next 20 years or so that you know that person backwards and forwards, and that their spiritual life is very evident and very real. Because I'm going to tell you, it'd be bad. And listen, had one to tell me not long ago, preacher, I kept myself pure. I kept myself pure. I saved myself for the marriage day. And everybody ought to. Fornication and adultery is still sin. I don't care where it's at. To only have a mate that's crossing the boundaries in those areas. Heartbroken. Heart-wrenching. Are you listening? I'm just preaching the principle. You need to try to figure out who it is and all that, but just the principle's there. Amen? If me and my wife, if one of us is spiritual and the other is carnal, you can count on it. There's going to be friction. There's going to be distance. Amen. Because what fellowship hath light with darkness? What fellowship has the flesh with the spirit? There's nothing there. And it'll just get further and further and further and further and further apart. And the devil's an enemy of the home. The devil has, he is the arch enemy of the home, and he wants to blow it apart. Amen, that's right. Well, anyhow, I didn't get to where I wanted to get to this morning, but that's okay. But I want you to study on your own. I'm right now done. I want you to study on your own Exodus 19, and I want you to look in that passage and let God speak to you about various things in that text. And if the Lord let me, and if He leads me to, and if He don't, that's fine too. But I'd like to look in chapter 19 and point out some things in there about the boundaries that God said to set up, and our responsibility toward it. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Father in heaven, as we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace, Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving us unconditionally. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for being patient with us, being long-suffering with us. But, Lord, I want to thank you, too, for the boundaries. I want to thank you, Lord, for the guidelines. And Lord, I want to thank you for working those things, many of those things in my heart early in my Christian life. I look at those and I call them convictions now. They're convictions of boundaries that I'm not going to cross. They're lines that I'm not going to cross. My flesh would like to cross those lines. But the Spirit of God wants to honor the boundaries and the lines set up in the Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to know that there's an enjoyable life within your bounds. It's not bondage. I think that that's something that we need to understand, Lord, that bounds does not equal bondage. But actually, it's freedom. It's for our safety. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us, help the young people here to find out what the scriptural bounds are as applied to them. That what they need in their life and choices that they make, they need to consider one of the first things when they're looking at temptation and they're thinking of the different choices that's in their life. They need to understand, am I going to be crossing some lines? Am I willing to take the consequences for lines crossed, boundaries crossed, and there are consequences? And I pray, Lord, that you'll take the message. I don't know why that you impressed my heart to preach this morning. Lord, you started giving these things, these thoughts to me a few weeks ago. But I pray you'll help us in a day when there's seemingly no boundaries being preached. There's seemingly no parental boundaries being given to the children. And we are on the very brink of an absolute immoral epidemic in this country, even inside the churches, because there has been such a letdown of preaching boundaries, preaching lines, preaching standards, preaching sanctification, preaching these things. And this generation on the scene now, because they haven't heard it, and they don't hear it at home or at church, they're starting to think that there's no boundaries. I can do whatever I want to do. But Lord, the fact is there are boundaries. There's lines. Lord, I pray you'd have your way. Help me, Lord, as a preacher, that I would find out all that you want me to preach, and that, God, I would lay that out to the people. And that they, Lord, would have the heart represented there in Exodus 19 where they said, we're going to do all that the Lord has said. May that be so, our Father. Have your way, Lord, in this invitation if anyone needs to come. In Jesus' name.